Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
Broadcasting from the ESPN Tallahassee studios in Florida's capital city and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Scuttle Bucks on 97.9 ESPN Radio. The Scuttle Bucks with Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years and home of the nationwide lifetime warranty for new and pre-owned vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Here's ESPN and Tallahassee's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
And away we go with the Scuttlebucks. I don't know that it's fun to have a Pirates life right about now as we enter into the equation more in-depth discussion of the future of one Jameis Winston with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bucks fall to Carolina. You know that by now. Desperately need the bye. It's a good thing. They can't protect him. He's not playing well. And the Bucks have fallen back into that ugly pattern we saw a year ago, which was to allow anybody and everybody to throw the football with little to no duress and set career numbers week to week, making average quarterbacks look really, really good. And again, we're asking the same questions about this franchise that we've been asking for as long as we've been doing the Scuttlebucks, and really for as long as, and not in its entirety his fault, but as long as Winston's been there now. It's really, really aggravating that we have to go down this trail again. And I do think it's time for us to seriously consider, and for you who are familiar with this show, you'll be surprised to hear me say it. I think we have to entertain the idea of maybe moving on. I haven't reached that conclusion entirely, but I'm seeing enough evidence to say it might be. You know, he's now seeing ghosts, Tom. You and I talked about this off the air. That's hard to break out of. When guys begin to leave the pocket and drift the way that he did on Sunday morning, you don't see them usually return to form real quickly. That's a sign that something upstairs is going south. And I'm a little worried about that more than, dare I say, more than the turnovers. The turnovers will get you beat. I got it. But, you know, Winston has been a turnover machine since he entered the league. And there have been reasons for that, some of which are valid, some of which are still on him. And those are the weaknesses in his game. But he always seemed to counter that with an exceptional game. A moment in time where you could watch his play and say, that's why I want to hang in here, because, God, he's capable of that. His best is so much better than, say, Mariota's best, right? When you would watch these two, and they're both probably falling out of form now. But when you would watch them, you'd say, Winston's best is about as good as you get in the league when he's right. His worst is about as bad as it can get in the league with turnovers, right? But so many other quarterbacks we evaluate aren't capable of that upper echelon performance. And so when you get a glimpse of it, you go, oh, I don't want to give up on that. I don't want to walk away from that. That's possible. I've seen that. And it's not usually just a game. Sometimes it's a 3 or 4 or 5 game stretch. So you're left to think, it would maybe be unwise to turn our back here because that is in there. But, Tom, I mean, 5 years in, at some point, you are who you are, and I've got to come to, I got to come to the table with that.
Yeah, it's also in him to do what he did on Sunday in London, and
he plays you out of the game.
The hard part is, I said this line a couple of times on the local show here in Tallahassee. In general, I thought entering the Carolina game, entering the bye week before that performance, that if you had to handicap Jameis getting his extension, it was -250. I mean, it's a pretty sure bet he's going to get the extension because, you know, you throw the Arizona performance out the window with a month of good performances after that, including a stunning performance on the road in Los Angeles, where he looks comfortable from the first throw of the game all the way to the very end of the game. He has one turnover in the mix, but in general, that is one of the best performances of any quarterback across the league this season. Then you have the Carolina game, and I feel like now it's plus money. It's gone all the way to the other side of the equation. Plus 105, plus 120. I don't think it's dead and buried yet. And this is the thing I really try to do, especially when talking about the NFL.
Well, because it's a week-to-week league and we tend to be emotional and reactionary.
In college, a loss is completely devastating when you're playing for the big prize.
Yeah,
loss is truly devastating.
Not devastating in pros.
And if you're an elite player, you typically don't have bad performances in college. Like, you really don't. You might lay an egg once
on the
a
field.
Year,
yeah,
but it's not like, you know, one week you're up, one week you're down.
Right.
If you're Jalen Hurts, and I know that he's a flawed college player, but if you're Jalen Hurts, what, 8 out of every 9 games?
Yeah, you're going to go nuts.
You're going to go nuts on the score
sheet.
Because
you have better players than the opponent. Yes.
Right. In this case, I hesitate to say it's done. I did text you in the moment after the fumble, the second one in a row, and that play that looked oh so similar to his Rose Bowl play against Oregon, where you just don't know what he's doing, and then the next thing you know, the ball comes out. That might be it. That might be the end. But unlike the Cincinnati game last year, I thought Jameis kept punching back.
Oh, he punched big time. I mean, the fight's there.
He looked like the equivalent Cincinnati last year of a pitcher who is looking in the dugout saying, please.
Come get me.
Come get me. I got nothing.
He did briefly at the end of the Cleveland game that we won in overtime.
He did. That was the week prior to the Cincinnati game.
It's a good thing
game.
That kid made a 60-yard field goal.
Right, exactly.
He wasn't, James wasn't
that was
go
a tire. Yeah, you know, they blocked it, whatever. Yeah. But he wasn't going to win that game for us. In this one, he punches back. Listen, I agree. It's plus money that he doesn't get the extension. I don't even know that they'd want to franchise tag him at this point because it's such a cap hindrance in a one-year cap window. But there's a lot of season left to go. And if he does, let's just say that he puts 4 performances back to back to back to back like he did leading into the Carolina game, and then he has another meltdown. Well, what do you make of that?
Well, what I would say, and you're right, what do you make of it? They'll have a tough decision on their hands at that point because your upper echelon quarterbacks that you would want to tie yourself to, that you would want to marry yourself to moving forward, are guys that are not going to 3 and 4 times a year give you no chance to win. That's the problem. You know, I mean, you would still.
Well, yeah.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing that's frustrating, because I agree with you. I think it's complex. It's easier in the case of Mariota. And I'm not just saying this to be a jerk. You know, in the case of Mariota, they benched him for very good reasons.
8 of 15 for 70 yards.
Well, right. I mean, first of all, I think I was looking at the stat here that just blew me away. I couldn't believe it. There's a couple of them, one for Winston and one for Mariota. Mariota's produced 3 of the league's worst starts by completion percentage in the same span that Winston has been turning it over here the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how when you go back and look at 38% completion percentage and then you look at Winston's 68 turnovers and 59 starts. I mean, these are damning moments for these two quarterbacks. So I'm not trying to isolate. But
no, the 15 class doesn't look very good.
It doesn't look good. doesn't look good, right? The two can't-miss guys look like we're going to miss. But when you look at Mariota, he's gotten to be where he's a shell of even what he was when he was pretty good when he first came out. He's afraid to throw the ball down the field.
I think that's injury history. For Jameis, he's just afraid of being hit. And that's the thing. Did he go David Carr on us this past weekend? Or you know, and it's
well,
not
he's
even,
been sacked 1,000 times. I mean, 13 times in the last 8 quarters.
Well, and it's not even that. Well, but the thing was, Bruce said on Monday that he found his way into 4 of them. And I don't disagree with the fact that he was bailing from good pockets because he's so used to the pocket being crappy.
Yes,
use a different word.
Yes. Well, I got to believe that it's an interesting quarterback room. I really would love to have been a fly on the wall to listen to Bruce Arians and you know, show Jameis, what are you doing here?
Right.
Because Winston gets quarterback. He gets it, right? He's a smart guy. When he sees that, he's got to know, like, oh, I didn't know I did that. He's got to be like, oh, I can't believe this.
Well, one of my favorite commercials for This Is SportsCenter is when the guys are getting instruction, the anchors, and it's almost like they have their own hitting coach
or
specialist.
Yeah, yeah.
And Scott Van Pelt is doing a chicken wing, and his arm is flying out.
That's not good.
That's not good? What's wrong with that? That looks normal to me.
No.
And the instructor goes, "That's I think it was Jimmy Rollins.
Yeah.
Goes, that ain't good.
That ain't good.
That's what Jameis is doing in the pocket.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
What are you doing?
It's clean.
What are you doing, man?
And it's actually a 2-game trend. Because the first half of the New Orleans game,
he did it too.
He's so scared of Cam Jordan. That dude's in his head. Keekly's in his head.
Well,
and now if you're putting that out there, that you've got 2 different players in the opposing defenses within your division that are in his head.
Keekly can't keep playing, Tom. He'll be gone in an hour. Jesus, how long is he going to play?
He won't. I don't think he's going to make it to 65, if that's what you're getting at, the way he plays the game.
No.
But if that's what's happening, and you look at his career and you say, in primetime games, sometimes he gets too amped up.
Yeah, no, we've got real problems
in big games in general. You say, man, I hope Jameis doesn't want this too much, because then he tends to implode. Okay, you're right. It has been 5 years. You know, he only played here for 2 seasons up in Tallahassee.
I know.
So we're closing in on 2.5 times more evidence.
Here's what he'll do, though, and this is what's going to make it maddening. By the way, the stat I was really looking for that does blow me away. Since the start of the 2015 season, the NFL has had 15 games with a quarterback completing 40% of his passes or less. Mariota has 3 of them. Like, Jesus. So there's like, that's a different set of problems.
Tannehill's been named. I mean, it's already done.
But that's the problem in and of, I mean, they have overwhelming evidence.
So there you go. In 2 weeks' time, it'll be another backup quarterback against the Bucs secondary.
Well, Tannehill can play a little bit. But here's what I'll say. Again, what Winston's going to do, most assuredly, because he's done it time and again, is he's going to go out and play really well for 2 to 3 weeks. It's going to happen at some point this year during the evaluation process, because he's fighting for his career in Tampa anyhow. We're going to see a stretch where he plays like a top five quarterback, because he's done it time and again, year in and year out. Even in bad years, he has a 3-game, maybe a 4-game stretch where he looks like one of the top 4 quarterbacks in the league. And then it just disappears. It goes away. He has a turnover fest, and you go, what in the world? You know, he's had 5 games in his career where he's personally turned the ball over at least 4 times in a game?
Yeah.
No other quarterback in the National Football League has 2 games like that. And you know I love the kid.
Mm-hmm.
I can't defend that.
Well, I'm aware of that, because any negative graphic you can find about Winston,
they find it. Yeah.
Has either been in the local rag down in Tampa or all over Fox or CBS or Thursday Night Football.
But they're not having to search as hard anymore.
No, they aren't. And the problem was, I think they were genuinely disappointed the NFL Network broadcast. First of all, Rich Eisen is the crappiest play-by-play guy I've ever heard.
But he's really good on the desk.
He's a great studio.
Yeah.
Great studio.
Yeah,
guy. Yeah. But they had all of the stats queued up. But before they could talk about Winston's 4 weeks from week 2 up to the kickoff of the Carolina game, he throws the pick. And so they're like, well, here were the numbers coming into today that we were going to talk about how Winston really rebounded from that Arizona performance. And he just kept giving them reason after reason to go back to the old talking points. And the problem for a Bucs fan is, beyond the fact that you got to watch that, beyond the fact that he single-handedly has lost a few games the last couple of years, you have to hear about it again. And that's frustrating in its own right. At what point?
No, I know.
And it's for a different reason now. It's for a different reason now.
Well, that's because why I'm having the conversation now.
He's inventing ways to turn the ball over.
No, it's well, and it's become a real deal now.
From fear.
Well, I want to be careful how we use that word, because that guy is fearless, which is sometimes the problem. But yes, he's seen ghosts. I don't know if he's afraid of them. He thinks something's there that's not there. It's not like he's afraid to get hit, is what I'm saying. I mean, he's not afraid to get hit. He's moving to avoid getting hit, because it's not ideal to throw a pass while being hit. But
it's probably a semantics thing, but I think we're saying the same thing. But I would say, he's fearful of being hit. He's so used to that thing being a sieve, and he knows the right side of the line was being replaced. They held up okay in a lot of the moments where you go, where are you going? Step up, climb.
You brought it up last week. Winston entered Sunday's game with the NFL's second best total QBR against the blitz. It was written about by ESPN last week in an article, I believe, penned by Kevin Seifert. And so he enters that game with this number that everybody's going, wow. And it's touted across the league. And he had this calm to him against the blitz. He was always great against pressure in college. He was elite. You did not want to blitz him. And most good quarterbacks, really good quarterbacks, will make you pay for blitzing them. And so he was doing what an elite quarterback does. He had a total QBR of 94.8 against the blitz. And it looked like he was emerging as a guy that you were going to be committed to, locked into, and move forward with. And then, you know, it all went away. The Panthers blitzed him again and again and again. They said, screw your QBR against the blitz. We don't think you can play against pressure, and we're going to bring it all day long and see what you do.
Yeah.
And he fell to pieces. I think what we're getting at here, and I know we got to move on, but I think what we're getting at here is that when things begin to regress for him, he goes down a path. Like, you can see it coming. when he's playing well, he's going to keep playing well.
Yeah, first quarter tells you the story.
When
yeah.
he's playing well, you're like, oh, we got there it comes. Here, you're in trouble. Whoever that other team is, he's feeling it today. When he stepped on the field in the Coliseum or whatever against the Rams, man, that first throw, I went, ooh, my man's angry. He came to play today. He asserted himself yeah. with dominance. And then it was just a free-for-all. A couple of games this year, you mentioned it in the New Orleans game. We certainly saw it here. He didn't look sure of himself. It's like he didn't trust himself. He didn't trust the line. He didn't trust the game plan.
It's
he didn't trust
Mike
Evans to get open.
Right. Well, that's a conversation that's I'm sure we're going to hit on before the end of the show.
Something's going on there, too. That's just it's a perplexing
Sure
thing.
Would like to see him break out of his rat on that first pick a little bit. I saw the all 22 of it. Is that a comeback, or are you just turning around and sitting there? It's still a crappy throw.
He never comes back to the ball, by the way, yeah. whenever he does come back. He stands. You know you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to shorten the gap.
Yeah. That's what happens on the first. But the problem is it's not even as much the turnovers for me as it is the evidence that his pocket presence is waning because of consistently getting hit yeah. for years and years and years.
It's a depressing Scuttlebucks, folks, but we've got more of it to come.
What you expect? Sounds of pain, the snap of a broken neck. All alone in darkness, I sit each night. Write my rhymes with blood upon a butcher knife. You say the ice is ill, and ill I am. They try to ban my and I don't give a damn. Roll up.
Shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
That music means let's check in with my man Lee DeKemper, JoeBucksFan.com, the website. You guys know it very, very well. Roller Coaster Ride on the website. Roller Coaster Ride following and covering the Bucks and talking about the Tampa Bay franchise as Winston was terrible in this last football game. And it obviously has us questioning whether or not the Bucks can stick by him moving forward. We bring in Lee now. That'll be a topic amongst other things. Hello, Lee. How are you, buddy?
Jeff, how's it going, man?
Doing all right. I'd be better if the Bucks hadn't completely gone off the rails there in these last couple performances. We are now watching a team that, once again, looks like they'll just kind of drift endlessly towards the end of the season with nothing to play for, and that is tough to stomach.
It's a pre-Halloween ritual in the Tampa Bay area, unfortunately.
Well played, sir. Well played. It is indeed. It is a pre-Halloween ritual. All right. Well, let's start with Winston. I mean, you're always going to lead with the franchise quarterback or potentially not the franchise quarterback. There's no defending that performance. And I admitted in the first segment that Tom and I did that I'm seriously thinking that the Bucks may need to move on. I think what's frustrating about Winston is that the second we say it, he'll do something like he did in, you know, two of the last 3 weeks, which is go out and play really, really well and get you believing again. And then right when you invest that emotion and that belief that he's the guy, he'll turn around and turn it over four or five times. And you'll think, well, can't live like that. We got to move on. So it's the ultimate roller coaster ride, which by year five is pretty damning to say about a quarterback if you're looking to hit your wagon. So I think he's in a little bit of trouble. And if we were gonna look at this moving forward, what do you think he has to do to give himself a chance to be there next year?
Just cut down on the picks, real simple. And I know it's a repeat, but a couple things have popped in my mind since Sunday, or since the game, I should say, meaning the game in London, the international embarrassment. I was listening to Arian's words after the game, and they seemed sort of hollow at the time, but there has been I have had an epiphany of sorts since then, and I'll explain. You know, Arians was asked, "Are you going to bench Chambers?" But no way. And then someone said, "Well, he's got this pattern throughout his career of picks." And Arians like, "I don't care what he's done before this year. This is the first year I had him." And then when he was asked again, Jenna Lane of ESPN, who does an excellent job, when Jenna asked him again, "Are you going to bench Chambers?" He goes, "I've only had him for five games." Well, actually six, but you get the point. Mm-hmm. And at first I thought it was just hollow endorsement of Jameis, like he's trying to build up his confidence. And then I came across something last night that I honest to goodness, I nearly fell out of my chair. I mean, you hear people say that, but my jaw hit my chest when I read this last night. I couldn't believe it. But it's true. The Bucks lead the NFC in points scored. And they're number three overall in the NFL. And I'm thinking to myself, what coach in his right mind gets rid of a quarterback who leads the high-scoring offense? I mean, that's what one, well, the main reason Dirk Cutter isn't here is, you know, his development with Jameis was going off the rails. But the second reason why Dirk Cutter isn't here any longer is because even though he had a fantastic offense, they couldn't score points. Well, now the offense is scoring points. And I'm like, wait a minute here. Is Jameis really the problem? Now, there's no way in God's green earth I can make any excuse for what happened Sunday. Nobody can. But I'm thinking to myself, Jameis isn't the problem here. Does Jameis create problems? Yes. He's not the problem. So I'm like, okay, now Arian's words are starting to make sense. You know, Arians was asked, well, what about if he throws five picks again? He goes, well, if he throws five picks again, then I'm going to be concerned. So all of this is starting to come together. All of Arian's support of Jameis, public support, is starting to make sense to me. Like, you know, the offense is not the problem. Jameis isn't the problem. He creates problems. He's not the problem. You know, Jameis is doing this. The offense is scoring points despite having a blah running game, despite playing with one hand tied behind their back and you know, not getting the tight ends involved that much, despite forcing passes to Scotty Miller. So everything's starting to, you know, like I said, I had an epiphany. The light bulb has come on for me. Jameis isn't the problem. He's creating problems, but he's not the problem. I will suggest to you the problem is the god-awful secondary or zero depth on the offensive line. Those are the problem or problems. Jameis isn't the problem.
Let me ask you this then. And let's say I want to go along with that idea because there are stretches of time, and I'll reiterate this for our listeners, where Jameis Winston will play like a top five quarterback in the league. There are also stretches in time where you realize you cannot win with him because he refuses to protect the football. So he is a boom or bust guy for this franchise mm-hmm. right now. Some of this, of course, we know centers around the fact that they can't protect him. I believe he's been sacked 13 times in the last 8 quarters. Maybe more, it's something like that. You can't win like that, and you are going to create a problem for yourself. And we saw it on Sunday, and this is where I'm really concerned because quarterbacks don't usually rebound from this. He began to drift in the pocket. He began to fear ghosts. He saw things that weren't there, and that's a result of being hit a lot. And when you mm-hmm. see guys do this, they don't always come back from it. And if they do, it takes a while. And that's a problem because he created a lot of those sacks on Sunday. And there have been games where they couldn't protect him. They couldn't protect him against New Orleans. There have been games where they just flat out couldn't block. But he created a lot of problems for himself on Sunday. And that's a new problem for Jameis Winston. That hasn't been something that I've noted with him in the past. He's always been strong in the pocket. And he's great outside of it. But he wandered into sacks thinking there was pressure where there wasn't. And if I were Arians, I'd be very concerned about that.
Yeah, that's something to be concerned about. That's the David Carr syndrome, mm-hmm. where he heard footsteps that weren't there.
Yeah, of course.
There was a very, last week, there's a very, very, very interesting story that Albert Breer of SI.com, Sports Illustrated, MMQB, he wrote about failed first-round quarterbacks. And I compliment him on it, and he actually Twittered me and said, hey, man, thanks for the compliments. And anyway, he interviewed Brady Quinn, Tim Couch, who, by the way, Arian's coach in Cleveland, Brady Quinn, Tim Couch, and Joey Herring. And there was basically three common denominators why those three guys failed. One is they were drafted by lousy organizations, and this may irk some Bucks fans, but since Chucky was fired, this Bucks team, this Bucks organization is a bad organization.
Sure.
That's number one.
Yeah, that shouldn't irk anybody. That's the reality.
Yeah. Number two is they failed to protect the quarterback. They got punch struck from the hip. They started hearing footsteps that weren't there, which is what we're talking about with Jameis. And the third one was lack of confidence. They lost confidence. All three of them they lost confidence. Harrington lost confidence to the point that he just said, hell with it. I'm here for a paycheck. I don't care. And he just, And he admitted it. To his credit, he admitted it, that he just didn't care anymore. He was just there for a paycheck and to set up his family down the road. What has Arians talked about since he got here? Jameis is confident. Okay, that's number two. Number three, we're talking about it. They were hearing footsteps, invisible footsteps. And that popped up, like you said, that popped up Sunday. That's something to be concerned with. Maybe I'm looking at the overlooking, I could say. Maybe I'm overlooking at the positives of Jameis. I see what he has done. I see what he can do. And I also know those are not easily replaceable. The fumbles drive me crazy. They absolutely drive me crazy. But that's correctable. I remember when Mike Allstott had a really bad fumbling problem. He corrected that. And to this day, people are saying, you know, he should be a Hall of Fame fullback. Fumbles are correctable. Interceptions, you can sort of live with them to a degree. But I see the positives in Jameis, and those are not easily replaceable. And I'll quote Raheem Morris with you. Raheem Morris had a great quote. It was about Styles White. Styles White was kvetching about he was, you know, not being used right. He was being worked too hard in practice. And Raheem Morris said, "I will tolerate you until I can replace you." So unless the Bucs are going to draft a quarterback in the first round this next spring, I don't see Jameis being replaceable right now as we speak. I mean, Mariota? Mariota doesn't throw interceptions. This just in, he also doesn't throw touchdowns either. So I see something to work with Jameis. And honestly, Arians has only been here half a year, six games, not even a half a year. And here's a couple other things real quick. One is Carson Palmer, who already was an established veteran, a superior quarterback, it took him at least half a year before he learned Arians' offense and took off with it. Jameis, for a while there, looked like he had already turned the corner, and even Arians admitted, maybe he's a little ahead of the curve. Well, then Sunday happened. So I'm not so sure Jameis yet has the grasp of Arians' offense that Carson Palmer took half a year to get. Again, we're only six games in Arians' offense. We're only six games into the season. So I'm not ready to hit the panic button yet. Concerned, of course I am. Panic button, get rid of Jameis, start looking for the draft. I was there Sunday night. I was there like you are. I was there thinking, okay, maybe the Bucs better move on. Maybe the Bucs better start scouting quarterbacks. But the last couple days, I'm not into that. I'm not in that camp quite yet. I was almost there. I'm not there yet. And Aqib Talib, when the Bucs were in Los Angeles, I decided to talk to Aqib Talib. I've always gotten along with Talib, and he's usually a good quote, even though it's fractured English, to be polite. He's always a good quote, and he wasn't in the talking mood. They lost, and they were getting ready for a Thursday night game. So, and then, by the way, this was really interesting. The Rams had a dozen stationary bikes set up in their locker room, and as I was leaving, there were 10 guys on the stationary bike doing what they usually do on Mondays, get on the stationary bike because they had a quick turnaround. And that was like, whoa, that kind of opened my eyes. Anyway, Talib, I asked him, I said, hey, you owned Jameis when you were with the Broncos. The Broncos came into Tampa. You owned him. It was one of his worst games. Tell me about Jameis. Is he a good quarterback? Is he a bad quarterback? And Talib said something I've never heard before. He said, you can't judge a quarterback with a new coach and a new scheme. It's almost like you're playing a brand new quarterback. That's a different quarterback because he's with a different coach in a different offense. And I don't think I've ever heard that before. And of all people, Talib said that. So I thought that was interesting. And as I was leaving the locker room, Talib's like, hey, to get my attention, he goes, hey. And he looks right at me and goes, Jameis is a good quarterback.
Well, it's interesting because there's evidence to that. You know, Lee, when we're critical of Jameis, I'm mindful of the fact, and the people who are new to this show have probably picked up on it pretty early on. Yeah, I'm partial to Jameis. I covered him here at Florida State. I saw him win a Heisman Trophy and a national championship. I remember having lengthy conversations with Jimbo Fisher about Jameis's acumen for the game, his work ethic, what he was like as a teammate, you know, what he brought to the table as a quarterback. Jimbo was a quarterback himself, and he said he was the smartest quarterback he'd ever been around. He said he was the hardest working guy he'd ever been around. He thought he was the best teammate that he could possibly be. He said his upside is that of an all-pro quarterback. And he didn't pass out those compliments very easy. So I'm always mindful of that, and we've seen him play that way. Well, hell, he went to a Pro Bowl with the Bucs. I mean, you've seen the guy play really, really well. But when we continue down this path of, you know, I mean, nobody's turned the ball over more than Jameis Winston has in his career and since he entered the league. Nobody. It's not even close.
That's true, but guess who has the most interceptions since the start of the 2018 season? Not Jameis. Baker Mayfield. Yeah. There are people screaming in Cleveland to get rid of Baker Mayfield? No.
Well, I mean,
granted, it's only his second year, you know.
No, listen, I am in line to probably fight for the guy is all I'm saying. But I'm arriving at this point now where I'm seeing a guy that doesn't trust the pocket. He's you know, fearful of ghosts. You cannot. I mean, he plays you out of three or four games a year. And if I'm going to tether my franchise to a guy moving forward, I can't do that knowing that I might be connected to a quarterback that at least three to four times a year gives me no chance to win a game. And that's really where I'm struggling, because if he would just remove the god-awful performance, I'd be all in. I'd say, all right, we're good. But, you know, we see this multiple times a year. It's really frustrating. Final thing, Lee, how much can we trust Bruce Arians' public comments and evaluations? I mean, did he not claim the secondary was, quote-unquote, totally fixed in camp? You know, so I don't know, you know, I'm frustrated by this.
Yeah, I think Bruce Arians uses his bully pulpit to boost the confidence of his player, to show that, hey, I've got your back. Now, what he tells the team behind closed doors, well, we've kind of seen that with All or Nothing on Amazon. Very, very different. And we're not privy to that. But, I've learned to take his words with a jaundiced eye, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, the sight versus hearing. But I take his words mostly when he's talking about, when he talks up people, kind of skeptical. I'm a little skeptical only because, you know, and we, Steve and I, the other Joe on JoeBucksFan.com, we've pointed it out more than a couple of times that his words about the secondary was totally fixed is BS. I mean, the Bucks actually have a worse pass defense, if you can imagine, a worse pass defense than they did last year, which is really, really hard. If we were in a time machine and we were in the middle, if we were October 2028 or 2018, and you said this defense will be worse next year, we wouldn't believe you. But here we are. That's baloney. And by the way, I think it's safe to say that we're going to be watching the final 10 games of Vernon Hargrave's days with the Bucks. I can't imagine they're bringing him back next year.
Well,
I really can't.
We don't need to bring him back.
No axe to grind with.
No, but Lee, we don't need to bring him back next week. I mean, there's no, he can't play. I've been screaming this from,
he can't play. He can't stand up.
He can't play. He's terrible. There's no reason to have him out there.
But you know what? They don't have anybody to replace him with. That's the bad part.
Go get somebody off a practice squad. I mean, sweet Jesus. There's no way you can be as bad as he is. I can't watch it anymore.
Go to the bus stop and start signing guys
find
up,
find
right?
A guy that just got done with playing, you know, college at some small school. Just bring him out there. It's crazy. It's so frustrating, Lee. Well, this Bucks team is frustrating. I'm hoping for the kid that he goes. Hey, he's a grown man, I know. I still call him a kid because I'm 48 and I think everybody's a kid. But I swear, I'm really hoping that Jameis gets it together. I root for all those guys to get it together. But it's professional football. It's performance-based. It's results-based. I got to see you go out there and win some football games. I get it. I understand the frustration. At some point, though, you do have to produce, and they're not a real good football team. So I don't expect them to win a lot of games, but I do expect them to play better than that. They didn't give themselves a chance to win that game, and it was awfully difficult to stomach. And the only thing I will say is, and Tom and I have talked about it on this edition of the Scuttlebucks, you know, unlike some previous games where he's looked lost, he did continue to fight and play well late, you know, down the stretch there. I know it was garbage time, but he still stepped into throws like he believed that he could make plays right up to the end there. And we've seen games like the Cincinnati game and really the one they got bailed out on in the overtime game against Baker Mayfield in Cleveland last year with a long field goal. That game, he looked completely lost, Jameis did. He didn't look like a guy that could go win you a football game. Once he kind of goes down that path, sometimes he digs himself a hole. I didn't really see that in this performance. He played terribly, but he didn't seem to lack confidence. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll see a guy emerge on the other side in this Bruce Arians offense. Maybe four or five games from now, we're having an entirely different conversation. I'll allow for the possibility.
Let's hope so. Cross our fingers. Hey, I'll leave you on a bright note. Is there a nose tackle in the game outside of possibly Aaron Donald that's playing better than Vita Vea?
Yeah, he's playing incredible. And he has been, you know, thank God we got a draft pick right. How about that? We got one
broken
right.
Clock kind of syndrome?
I'm going to give him more credit than that. I'm going to believe they evaluated the player, assessed the situation, and chose the right guy, Lee.
Yeah, it seems that way. I know people are still irritated about Derwin James, but you know what? At least Vea isn't getting worked over. At least Vea is getting the job done.
No, he's playing well.
There is that.
Well. Yeah. Good talking to you, Lee. Be good as always, buddy.
Hey, same here. Jeff, thanks a lot.
Yeah, take care. JoeBucksFan.com. I'm down today, guys. It's, you know, I thought we had our franchise quarterback, and now I'm seriously doubting that we do. But okay, Lee. All right.
Well, you got 10 more games of evidence. So
those will be important data points, Tom.
Extremely important. And the question is, let's say he plays well in 8 and terribly in 2. What do you do?
That's what I'm laying
and
out.
And you finish 8-8. Or 7-9.
I was gonna
7-9.
8-8.
Whatever.
Jesus, we're keeping him at 8-8. That means they win 6 more games.
Well, you're playing a lot of home games, and the schedule doesn't look too terrible from this point forward. Other than the travel part, of course.
Well, traveling all over God's green earth. I'll tell you what, they win 6 more games from where they sit currently?
You know, what's amazing to me is the defense is actually statistically worse through the air than last year, and you're facing Bridgewater and Allen and a terrible Cam Newton and Daniel Jones, and it's not like Garoppolo is a top-5 quarterback.
Daniel looked like Jesus playing quarterback against us.
I mean, geez. What does he look like since then?
Oh, no. Well, we also provided the film. That's really unlucky. We got a little unlucky there. I mean, we'd never seen the kid, and then all of a sudden, now there's tendencies on tape. So guys scheme against that.
Well, Dan Marino could come out of retirement and play for the Titans in a couple of weeks, and I think he'd do just fine.
Well, he'd certainly be better than Mariota. Yeah,
I agree, they got Tannehill. But
I'm
mean,
still saying,
wide open dudes are wide open dudes. legitimately, Kurt Warner could. Kurt Warner. If you gave him 2 weeks to prepare, I think he'd throw for over 275.
Against our secondary.
Hell yeah.
Well, we made a rookie making his first start look like Joe Montana. I know. And what's more damning, and we'll come back and do a little finisher here, but what's more damning is that you're shutting down the run. The whole goal of defense is to take something away and make you predictable. The Bucs are doing that every week against some of the best runners the league has to offer.
Yeah.
They knocked Saquon Barkley out of the game. He wasn't getting anything when he was in the game. Absolutely dominated that Giants team up front against the run. Alvin Kamara was pedestrian against the Bucs. Twice they've basically shut down
McCaffrey.
Damn it. You know you got guys behind the chains. Well, you have to make plays in the secondary when you know what's coming. They never do.
It tells you what kind of league it is, what the league favors. It favors aerial assault. We're not the only team that has this split. Now, Philadelphia is a top. Depending upon the metrics, the Bucs and the Eagles are the two best against the run.
But the Eagles can't cover anybody
either. Holy crap.
No, well, they killed me. I bet on them last week to beat the Vikings.
Stephon Diggs
took Minnesota.
Wide the hell open every time. I mean, they missed a wide open shot down the field.
Every game previous, Stephon Diggs is bitching about not getting the ball.
Yeah.
They can't find him.
Mm-hmm.
They can't find
him.
And
there's nobody within 30 yards of him against the Eagles. I mean, so it tells you what the league's about. I like that we are not just good against the run, we're elite against the run. But you're telling me that nobody on this earth exists who can cover a little bit better than Vernon Hargreaves?
Well,
nobody who's available? Nobody got drafted to the XFL this week? Not one dude. Come on. Not one dude?
Let's assess another problem we have. And it's two-pronged here with the offense that I want to talk about. And it doesn't have anything to do with Winston.
Is it the overwhelming nature of the savings that we see of Bill Curry from new general manager Sean Sullivan?
My man.
Just
Fire
north
away.
Of the stadium on Dale Mabry, supporting this podcast, the Ira Kaufman podcast. Hockey Talk at Tampa Bay last year. Sean Sullivan, what a local citizen he is. BillCurryFord.com.
Way to go, Bill Curry Ford. We love you.
That's not the problem that you were talking about?
No, it's not, Tom.
It's a great problem, though.
It's a real good problem. No, this problem has more to do with something on the football field, and I did not anticipate us having to have this conversation, but we will next. We'll be right back.
Shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
Put a ribbon on this. I'm really frustrated by, and it could very well be something that Lita Kemper touched on. It could have to do with it, and that is that we are dealing with a new offense, and so they're still working out the kinks. It's interesting, going back to Winston or Mariota, the class of 2015. You know, franchises deserve blame for these problems, too. And those two players have combined to play for 7 different offensive coordinators. That is not good for anybody.
Right.
You're constantly having to start over. And so I think it's important that, you know, that he shared Aqib Talib's comments. I think that's interesting. I also think it's interesting that Talib, who's not exactly friendly, isn't afraid either. Took the time to call out to him to tell him, no, he's a good quarterback. That he wouldn't just posit that to do it.
No, Talib thinks more of Lita Kemper than he does of Cabby.
That's for sure.
We've established that much.
That's for sure. So I think what Talib sees, certainly saw up close and personal, and what so many of us have seen and why we've been reticent to move on, until maybe recently, is that the upside with that guy is very real. He's very, very good when he's good. When he's good, he's real good. Mm-hmm. But when he's bad, he's real bad. He's a man of extremes, and that you can't – there's no stability with that, and that is problematic. But again, it's a new offense. So, okay, I'll allow for the possibility that we're going to ride this roller coaster a little longer. Obviously, though, in a few weeks, we need to see some form of consistency here. Because you're trying to evaluate whether or not, as a franchise, you want to move on. But let's get to this thing. And maybe this is the reason again. Mike Evans is also hit and miss. And, I mean, when he's great, he's really great. He's something to behold. But when he's bad, sweet Jesus, is he bad. And I don't. That's new. That's never been the case with him in the past. That guy is a baller. I love Mike Evans. I mean, I think we all do. I think he's a professional. I think he prepares. I think he cares. That's more than you can say for a lot of guys that have come through here. And I think he's elite when he wants to be. But he's got games where you just go, my man, where are you?
Yeah, you say, and I know this is incendiary, but let me finish before, you know, the professional thing means you show up and care every week. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know about
that. I'm saying prior to this year.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Prior to this year, I don't think we could have ever accused him of that.
Probably not.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
But we can this year.
Yeah.
I mean, you're there 1 week. The next, I don't know, you're on the field.
I don't know how much he loves it. You know, there are times he just looks like he's out there to collect
the
check.
That's all the losing, man. That's all the damn losing.
Probably.
It happens to, you know.
But, I mean, look at him and juxtapose that with Godwin. And I know that Godwin is the feature player in the offense, just the way that the offense is designed.
He's also very early in his career. Establishing himself. And yes, he's got a whole bunch of what for. We love Godwin. We did from day one, and he's given us every reason to do that. But I'm telling you, fast forward 4 years from now, if they're still losing every week.
Yeah.
And let's see what Godwin is. You know, let's see if we don't see
evidence.
Yeah, but
it's 17-7. Turn around and catch the freaking ball.
Oh, hey, listen, man. And also, I mean, you can't throw a better pass than that. We talk about Winston in the throwing the bomb. He's been better at it this year. And there have been more than one occasions where we're watching my man hit him in the end zone or on a fly like that, where he gets passed and Winston leads him perfectly. I mean, it's a walk-in. Catch the ball.
Yes.
And that could change the game.
It could, well, yeah, it's 17-14, despite all of the things that have happened to
you're
you.
You're feeling better about yourself.
Who's running to the locker room and who is sauntering to the locker room?
Correct.
We're running to the locker room saying, we got you bitches now.
It's a big moment. You got to make that happen. But are we close now where we need to consider that the tight end was a whiff?
He's not ready. He can never be your hot. He can never be. The dude's not ready for the football. Does he want the football? You know, we schemed up something beautiful for him this week, finally. It was almost like, here's your bone, man. All right, now let's go. Let's all eat together. The screenplay. was beautifully designed. Well, gets inside the 5-yard line.
It's his only catch. Yeah. He caught a screen pass. It's his only catch.
I don't know that he has a high football IQ would be the point that I raise after this week. And the reason I say that is you've got to know when somebody is presenting a look that an all-out pressure is coming, right?
Yes.
And so what does that mean?
It's a hot read. Let's go. Hot route.
That
hot
means
route.
I better be alert. I better be
hot route.
Crab cakes and football.
Yeah. I mean, damn it. Turn around and catch the ball.
Right. He looked more interested in catching a ball in the Thunderdome than he did in London.
It's a good catch.
It was a good catch. He wanted that ball. Come on, man. You got to know football there. They're bringing all outs. So that means the ball might be coming to you.
It's coming now.
And you know what? I'd venture a guess to say that he is the hot on that play.
I think he
should freaking know that.
Well, that's instantly where Winston looked and threw the ball, as you're supposed to, from whence the blitz came. And it's right there, and, you know, my man can't catch.
Yesterday, we were talking about that here locally, and I said, you know what, I'll give him a pass on the first one, but the second one, I mean, fool me twice kind of a thing. The more I think about it.
I catch the first one, too.
Oh, you're the hot read on the play, you dumbass. That's a big play in that game.
Yeah. Well, I can't count on him either. I know this has been,
how many losing fest, but how many losing plays did we make in that game?
Oh, well.
Jameis had like 7 of them by himself.
Yes,
we've established that for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Evans, 2 or 3 losing plays in the game.
Easily.
You got O.J. Howard making 2 losing plays in the game. You got, defensively speaking, Hargraves makes like 20 a game.
The offensive line was terrible again.
The McCaffrey play is actually Devin White being misaligned. You got 2 linebackers in the same spot, and Devin White. That's a rookie mistake. I get that, so I'm not going to kill him for it, but that's a losing play. Bobo Wilson sucks. He's gone now. So there's one punt return opportunity he has where there's 10 yards in front of him. He decides to break it out to the right, and we end up getting a loss of 1 on the play. And then he's got 2 muffs, one of which actually kills us. You know, like, we made 15 to 20 losing plays. There aren't that many in football.
I got to tell you.
The pro level.
I'm really happy on a personal note, Tom. And I'm sure our listeners will care about this. I have discovered that I have a gift. I predicted the Bobo Wilson drop. I mean, you recall last week, last 2 scuttlebucks, I'm like, man, he doesn't look good back there. He looks unsure. He looks very like, even though he hadn't dropped one, I'm like, you don't look like you want to be there. You don't look like a guy who's real sure coming up and making that catch. Go back to all those years ago on the roof, Rashad Green. You and I talking, and I'm going,
yeah. Oh, sure.
My man.
Okay. Here's a Florida State example that translates to the NFL. Any of you out there seen the highlight reel of Auden Tate's catches last week against Baltimore?
Unbelievable.
Okay. That guy was on the bench, and Bobo Wilson started at Florida State.
Unbelievable.
Think about that.
Yeah. Well, now we're going down a different
road. Well, but that's what we've had to freaking live with, so it might be loaded a little bit. But that guy cost you any chance whatsoever. I mean, momentum was neutral there. All you got to do is catch the freaking ball. Punt returns are a negative play for us. He didn't even catch the ball half the time in terms of letting it bounce.
No,
and roll 10
extra yards. We don't have to worry about it anymore.
He's gone.
Thank goodness.
It took that much for you, huh? Idiots.
I guess we can take a deep breath, gather ourselves.
I feel better.
Utilize the bye week. We've bitched enough.
Calmer than you are.
And now we'll see. How do they respond? They get it together? Do we see a good performance?
Yeah.
We'll talk about it next week. Good work out of you. Thanks to Lita Kemper. And Bill Curry Ford.
That's right. If you need to feel better in this bye week, just head to BillCurryFord.com. Check out the new and pre-owned inventory from General Manager Sean Sullivan, who supports local sports talk in Tampa Bay, even if it's farmed out to Tallahassee.
Way to go, Bill Curry Ford. Good work out of you. Thanks for listening, everybody. I know we were bitchy this week. It's all right, though. Thanks for hanging with us. We had to get it off our chest.